the June 4th meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Sure. Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Here.
Legislator Litz? Legislator Nolan?
Here.
Legislator Stewart?
Here. Thank you very much. Let's work on the approval of the April 30th meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes from the April 30th meeting?
I move to accept the minutes as presented.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes approved. Resolutions for the June 18th, 2024 legislative session. Resolution number 269, confirming the appointment of member to the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council. I'd like to withdraw that resolution. Is that okay with you, Deputy Chair Walz?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to withdraw that resolution. Any discussion? No. Okay.
I have a quick question. I understand that Ben Gannon, who was going to be appointed to this position, has accepted another job somewhere. Is he still going to be working with the county, or is he? Okay, good. Glad to hear.
Yes, so we're ready.
Yes.
Thank you. Resolution number 270, appointing members to the Recycling Oversight Committee. Is there any discussion or questions?
Do we have a name yet for the TBD?
I do not think we do.
Okay.
Representing the legislator of this committee is Mana Jo Green, and the supervisor, Association of Supervisors and Mayors is Aaron and Allen, but we don't have the TBD.
I make a motion that we approve the resolution pending the TBD.
There's a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So we know that'll need to be amended.
Great. On the floor?
Yeah.
Great. The resolution passes. Resolution number 271, urging the governor of New York to deny the Iroquois pipeline expansion. Is there any discussion or questions?
I'd like to inform the chair and the committee that I am going to abstain from voting on this and recuse myself from discussion, as my workplace has done work on this issue, and I have participated in that.
Thank you, Legislator Nolan.
I have just a comment.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the volatility in the world, you know, in the geopolitical stuff, sometimes I think that it's, you know, these energy pipelines and things like that are good because they strengthen our independence. Just wanted to share.
Thank you. Yes. Mr. Stewart.
And my apologies if this was in the background information. How many bodies of water are roughly do we, how many rivers, how many streams, how many bodies of water does this thing cross?
It doesn't say it in the backup, but there are a number of whereas statements about its environmental effects and the way that it would utilize fracking technology as well. So I appreciate your comments, Legislator Walz, and maybe over the next couple of weeks, we can talk to the sponsors of the resolution if you'd like. But it doesn't mention the bodies of water, Legislator Stewart. So, any additional discussion? Do I have a motion to adopt the resolution? Legislator Donaldson, do I have a second? Legislator Green, thank you. Resolution passes.
Just give a vote, call the vote.
Oh, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
One opposed.
Thank you. One opposed, thank you.
And?
And one, any abstentions?
One.
Thank you, Legislator Knoll. Passes with three votes.
Yeah, there's four, three, there's four.
Okay, the resolution passes. Resolution number 272, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under six NYCRR Part 617, State Environmental Quality Review Act, SECRA, by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a public safety radio tower and appurtenances to be located at Pitcairn Estates, Mountain Road, SBL 37.1-5-12.412, Town of Olive, New York, Department of Emergency Services.
I'll be very happy to move it.
Great.
Second.
Great. Any discussion before we have to take the vote? Do you want to?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to make sure, confirms that on this tower that they will be able to put cellular on the tower as well.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
One of the advantages of the new tower.
Yes.
Does this address your Hurley dead zone?
This just unfortunately does not address the Hurley dead zone. It's been an ongoing issue that I've been trying to deal with. Years. it's my understanding this will greatly help out, you know, by the reservoir in that area, but it's not going to have any effect on the 209 corridor, which is clearly a huge problem, I think, both in public safety and in convenience and in business development. So I think we need to figure out some way to get cellular service on Route 209 and not have to depend on a church to do so.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Legislator Green, did you have something to add?
Yeah, it's more of a process. When Dave Gordon was one of the attorneys for the legislature, he very carefully read all the SECRA and would often remind us if there was a resolution that needed SECRA. And I just wonder if that is happening. I don't know who to ask, but I think that's a legislative function.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, I'm sure the county attorney, well, there's,
I think there's two pieces to it. So the first is in the preparation of the county executive's
resolution. Yeah.
That the executive's office submits. That's certainly part of our review. It's looking at whether or not it needs a SECRA determination and statement. And as such, we, you know, have kind of a usually a rather familiar list that we work with as far as what types of actions we do. So those are always between the staff working on the resolutions and the county attorney staff reviewing the resolutions. That's where that is. However, typically beforehand, with actions that are capital projects or involving construction, we're doing that review beforehand on those types of bigger projects that involve any kind of disturbance.
Thank you.
Can we just double check if one of the legislative attorneys is checking?
I'll work on that. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that's an important thing, so thank you for bringing that up.
So we have a motion, we have a second. Any additional discussion, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Resolution passes. Resolution number 274, amending capital project number 574, UCAT phase 2.1, rooftop solar installation, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of the Environment.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion or questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
There is a mention of a generator. What type of generator is it?
Very good question. There would be a larger diesel generator on site. In order to ensure the reliability of the backup, so that for running buses, there were a sufficient backup. So to start, of course, there would be a preference if there's going to be large solar on the site for there to be battery, and that would be a preferential source for power for the building. However, as like a second line backup to that, because there is some sensitivity to being able to maintain both the buses and also the electric bus, if there is a profound and major grid outage, there is a diesel generator on the site.
And just to follow up, the diesel generator, would that be on the lower side in terms of its emissions when it runs as compared with natural gas or propane? But I think natural gas is lower emission than propane.
So sorry, you were speaking about the existing generator. So actually, part of the scope of this phase two of the UCAT infrastructure. So I just want to clarify, we're speaking kind of about the next three resolutions, right?
Okay.
As it relates to the two capital projects and the overarching contract with NYPA.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that out there. So basically, this phase two project, the contract with NYPA, is encompassing the rooftop solar, but then also additional EV bus chargers, and then lastly the gas generator. Actually, so
okay.
They are going to add a gas service there, and they had explored battery options. Actually, so the original intent and scope of the project did include the battery energy storage system. It kind of ended up getting scaled down and down through further analysis of the demand and the potential benefits, offset demand, things like that. And in the end, it ended up being a 160 kilowatt hour battery. And I had put out the bid with the initial construction, and it came out at over $300,000 for, it's basically an equivalent of, say, two Teslas that for $300,000 for, you know, it's a very small battery that had kind of unfortunately negligible benefits. So the battery was dropped out of the scope of work, but we are planning on the gas generator.
I'm sorry, so the diesel generator is going to be converted to gas, or
yeah,
just get a new one? We phase out
project.
And just get a new one?
Yes, okay. That's kind of the last phase in 2025.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm not sure that they're getting replaced. I think some of them, I know some
are they just converted? Okay.
I believe this one's being upsized, and actually it is being removed from place because it's not.
Mm. I'd like to understand it, and it sounds like it's careful planning. Don't mind coming back to talk about those batteries at some future point.
Great. So because there are Legislator Green, do you have a question?
Just to let folks know, and I'll send the link to Liz to share. Communities for Local Power and others have it actually part of the renewable energy working group have had a series on battery storage with DEC and other experts, and I think it's really worth. I'll send the links around. It really creates a context. It also addresses, we've had some concerns about lithium battery fires and how to prevent that and safety issues, the economics, what's working, what's not, and what are the obstacles that need to be overcome.
Thank you. Any thoughts or questions about this resolution? Resolution 274. We already have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Great, thank you. Moving on to resolution number 276, amending capital project 568, UCAT phase 2.2, electric bus charging infrastructure project. Amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County, County Area Transit. Is there any discussion or questions?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
I do have a question. We may get inquiries about the cost of this project, which I now understand from the materials, the total phase one and two is almost $1.5 million, and the total project is a little over $2 million, $2.25 million. It started at much less than that. It seemed to me like the project had gotten bigger. It's not just cost going up, but can you give us some details on that in case we are asked?
So there's two pieces, right? There's the two capital projects under the broader project, so it's $2.24 million for the entire project, and then the solar is about $900,000, and the EV charging infrastructure and generator is about $1.3 million. And so both of those saw significant cost increases from the estimates, but those were from back in, I think, something like 2019. So again, pre-COVID. Inflation, supply chain issues, all of those things, and that's, you know, the updated pricing is based on the actual construction bid pricing that came in, you know, that NYCHA coordinated. Oh, yes, so the other point is that the solar is more than double the original size. I think it was something like 90 kilowatts.
Yeah, it went from 90
to 146, and now it's 204. Yeah, and so that's basically for maximum fit on the rooftop. And again, they scoped it out and did the, you know, full assessment of the electricity consumption on site, potentially, of course, considering that the addition of up to 12 EV buses charging and the associated demand charges and things like that. So the solar is... That's basically maximum fit, and then it's anticipated to offset about 64% of annual electricity consumption, so only two-thirds, actually, but it's the most that can fit there. And then, of course, we did include the cost discounts from for the $100,000 in DASNY grant the county will be receiving for that, and then, of course, the Inflation Reduction Act clean energy credits of up to about 30% of the just the solar project cost.
That would be reimbursed.
Yes, that would be reimbursed.
If it's not hard, maybe before Ways and Means, if you could pull out the increase in cost that's related to the increase in the size of the arrays, and so we have a sense of how much of it is the cost, increased cost, and how much of it is increased purchase.
So Europa has prepared a three-page summary of phase one and phase two. It has a lot of estimations.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
No, just to clarify, I'm sorry. So roughly 30% of this total, of the total budget is going to be reimbursed by the feds. Is that right?
So this is the part that gets complicated, breaking out just the solar
just
supply,
the solar
which
part.
Is $911,000, up to 30%, but it'll actually be a little bit less. It'll be probably something in the range of $200,000 to $300,000. You know, because there's contingencies and other things baked into the bigger project cost.
And that reminds me, it's in the next resolution, and I didn't get a chance to go back and check, but in the next resolution, the whereas says that program applies to tax-exempt organizations that may qualify for a direct payment, and it doesn't say municipalities, but the program does apply to municipalities.
Exactly.
So we need to just check the language of both these resolutions and make sure that it has in there. I think we should say it.
And municipalities.
Mm-hmm. So maybe while we're maybe before we vote on this one, we can look and see if there are any whereases here that need to be amended.
And I'm sorry, this is on all three resolutions or just on?
Well, 278, I know, has this issue, and so I have a note to myself,
okay.
But I didn't.
On page two, the last whereas.
Thank you.
Does it need it to be added here, Jeff?
It looks like it.
Yeah, can you make that motion then? You got it in front of you?
Yeah.
He's not on the committee.
Oh, you're not on the committee, right. And actually, who's the sponsor? Yeah. Do we need the sponsor to make that amendment? I mean, it's almost ministerial, I would say. But.
Well, it says Ways and Means.
Oh, okay. So we could change it in Ways and Means, but.
Legislator Gavaris and Roberts.
No, it's you and Deputy Chair Walls.
Okay, great.
So you could make that
I'd like
proposed
to
amendment.
Propose an amendment to this resolution to add and municipalities. And I'll count how many whereas is there. The 12th whereas.
Which page?
Page 2. 12th whereas, adding tax-exempt organizations and municipalities may qualify. And changing the word quality to qualify.
That's on that one.
Oh, thank you.
What's the first part?
It's going to be somewhere else. Right in here, after organizations, before May, it'll say, and municipalities. Do I have a second on adding and municipalities to the 12th whereas?
It'd be good if it were Legislator Walls, I think, as
oh,
the
right, as Deputy Chair.
Second it.
Okay, great, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Of the amendment.
Of the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to vote on the resolution. With the amendment, do I have a motion?
Yes, I move that we adopt the resolution as amended.
Second?
Oh, sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Did you guys vote on 276?
Yes, we did not vote on 76 yet. So we
I thought it was 276 that we were doing.
78.
Oh, okay.
And so we did have a motion and a second on 276. We were in discussion. Any further discussion on 276?
I want to go back to 276. The question that I had was on 276,
okay.
Does it have this same language about tax exempt? And I don't think it does. It doesn't talk about the funding source in the same way.
No.
Okay.
Okay, great. Any questions or discussions on 276? All those in favor? Opposed? Abstain. Okay, resolution passes. And we've already finalized resolution 278 with the amendment. Moving along. Bless you. Resolution 356. Establishing a policy requiring consideration of use of hemp insulation in certain Ulster County capital construction projects. Is there any discussion or questions?
I'll move it for discussion.
Great. Any second?
Second.
For discussion. Legislator Nolan.
Yes. I think this is a very interesting resolution, and I support our having a policy that addresses, I'm going to say building materials, but construction materials. I am concerned about this resolution and would say that maybe we should use it as a starting point, because I think hemp is only one of many, many other potential insulating agents that would be equally effective and have less impact on the environment. So I'm not an expert on this, but a quick look, alternatives to the polyurethane, which we definitely want to get away from, include cellulose, mycelium, which is plant structure.
Like mushrooms. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mineral wool, which turns out is a term that refers to stone dust that's been spun in a certain ways, EnviroFiber, which is a trademarked coconut and latex rubber insulator, soy and cashew nut, recycled cotton, especially denim, castor oil, and something called green cell, which is made from corn. There were a couple of other alternatives that I don't think we would want in this list, and that's the reason that I think we probably need to have somebody, and maybe even a consultant, a material specialist, look at it. Some places use polyester, which doesn't sound like a good option to me, and then fiberglass. There's also a form of polyurethane that is called diphenyl disocyanate, or MDI, which doesn't have some of the toxic properties of polyurethane. So having embarked on this question of are there any other alternatives we should be thinking of, I think the answer is definitely. And so this would raise for me the question about how we would proceed on this. I mean, it might be something the Department of Environment could pick up and help with. It might be, as I say, that asking a firm that specializes, maybe we talk to purchasing and ask them if they could bring in a somebody who helps put out purchasing requests for insulation alternatives and have them give us a brief on it. Or we put together a committee to form this policy and do the work as a committee or subcommittee of the legislature. Mm-hmm. Those are, that's as far as I got thinking about this, but I was having a lot of fun to that point.
Awesome.
But because this is just, I mean, it really is something where we could do a lot of good for very little, you know, some of these alternatives are no more expensive. If we put in the work ahead of time, we could really improve things.
Great. And it's, I just put it together this week, and I'm looking for feedback like this. One goal is to support local farmers and economic development, so something like coconut is amazing, and I'm happy that option exists. Legislator Walz?
Yeah, I would support this as it stands, but in a general sense, I would just say that we're dealing with building materials and talk about, you know, the housing crisis, that, you know, the cost of every little bit adds up. And building a green home or a green building is good, but it does require more expense as opposed to just even the regular conventional building codes.
Yeah, we have a lot of green building experts in this area. And I don't want to slow this down, but I agree that, you know, we should look at others as well. I want to just share very quickly an experience. I would say 15 years ago, we were strongly promoting shredded newspaper.
Cellulose.
Yeah. And a lot of buildings used it, but if moisture gets in, it really can promote mildew, in spite of the fact that it's treated with boric acid. And I think the best product as a substitute for fiberglass is rock wool or mineral wool. It's a very useful. But I wonder if we could, you know, consider moving forward, but also setting up a process where we could expand this. Does that make sense?
I would actually recommend we do wait. I don't mind waiting, because I would appreciate more feedback from purchasing, DPW, whoever would like to give us feedback. Legislator Collins and then Walz.
The phrase says include consideration. Gotcha. I would like to have that expanded to some degree so we know what types of considerations should be made. So comparison of price, comparison of performance, like time, the building product, those kinds of things that are subjective as opposed to but basically a quantitative numbers, as opposed to just, well, we looked at it.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. The numbers come out and we can look at the numbers and say, you know what, we're willing to pay 10% more for this. And we can make that consideration. Whereas if we don't specify what is being considered, someone can just come back and say, well, I thought about it.
Yeah. We did put a little language in there about having some backup and justification. I have next Walls, Nolan, and then Lavelle. Legislator Walls.
All these are, you know, they're good ideas. One of the things I think that we have to think about is the supply. In other words, if this was one of these became an option, if somebody's building a, you know, a 20,000 square foot building in Kingston or something, that, you know, will there be enough supply? In other words, that's sometimes with builders, that's, you know, it's, some of these things are good ideas and they're available, they're just not available in the quantities that the market's demanding.
Great point. I think another rationale is to build demand and help farmers grow industrial hemp, which Cornell University really specializes in, that seed. Legislator Noel, and then I'll finish my point.
Yeah. I just want to state that I'm troubled by our establishing a policy that would choose one alternative. And so what I was suggesting is that we go back and look at a mechanism where we can generate a chart that has all the different options, their insulation value, their cost, the supply chain issues, and that it be our policy that we then try to select the product that would have the least public health harms, you know, in terms of toxicities, the least climate footprint in terms of how much carbon goes into generating that material and in it, you know, its lifespan, and then its cost. And maybe as we go forward, we think about any other criteria, and that then when we have a construction project going forward, that the department that's doing that construction or the consultant that's hired have to present their choice, their recommendation based on those considerations. So that to me would be a good policy, that they always have to go through that that process. If we're doing economic development and trying to, you know, have a secure demand for hemp or any other compound, then I think we should do that through an economic development lens,
right,
and state that that's the purpose. And in that circumstance, we might accept much higher cost in order to build that supply chain. But here, I think we would be trying to obtain the best value for a given price.
And I think, Legislator Walls, what I was going to say is you're right about the supply chain issues. There's a hemp house in Kingston that during the ice storms a couple of years ago, it didn't go below 80 degrees in the house for over a week because of the thermal mass of hemp insulation, but they had to get it from Canada and France, nowhere near here. Deputy Executive Lavelle.
Just first wanted to remind the committee that there's been significant work by both the legislature and the executive over many years, you know, as far as sustainable purchasing and also procurement on different materials. You have a great wealth of things that you can look back on the legislature having passed regarding VOCs and paints, et cetera, a lot of different materials. And in particular, we have both last year significantly upgraded our purchasing program and our purchasing policy with a sustainable purchasing policy. And that gives a lot of guidance for certain areas where we're purchasing and as part of our operations every day. But again, there is always that discussion of environmental benefits, human health benefits, and it is a hard place to have a hard number.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that cost is always changing, and, you know, it's sometimes, so I would warn against a hard number, because that's been we've always ended up in a discussion where we're talking about both the environmental benefits and the risks versus the cost. So it ends up being more of a little less on the line and something like that. The other thing I just want to remind the committee about is that there is also an environmental considerations checklist that is prepared for each capital project. That checklist, much of the time, calls back on many of these past legislation on different product areas, so that we're able to, you know, just for example, again, it, you know, does it, is it compliant with their green building standard for new construction? Has retro commissioning been considered? Are we looking at VOCs? What are we doing as far as materials management? Is it compliant with our environmental preferable purchasing procedure? So there's a pretty rich set of different areas that we look at in the ECC. We could certainly see this being another area of evaluation, but again, you know, thinking about it in, you know, capital projects are very large and very complicated, and sometimes it's great to have a building standard, a green building standard, where you can also use that as a lens for evaluating.
Great.
But all these, you know, just great comments regarding cost, regarding availability, and many other things.
Yeah. Being able climate to footprint. Yeah, wonderful. I have more homework to do, and I would like to postpone this and possibly withdraw it as written, but I'll keep you all posted. Anything else?
Do you want a motion to postpone?
Yeah, I'd like to move to postpone it.
Oh, second?
No action. Or I could do no action. What do you recommend, legislator? No action?
I don't know the benefits as no action versus postponing. Either one, I think, accomplishes.
I'd like to postpone it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can say it's been postponed for 6 months.
Right.
At some point. Right. You can build a record.
I don't want that. So you made the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
So postpone.
Postpone. All those in favor?
Aye.
Legislator Walls, in favor? Postponement for 1 month?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, this, I want to be sure that we go beyond the experience in purchasing and actually, there used to be an area green building association, but, you know, I'd like to be sure that people that specialize in this are engaged in the process of creating that. I think the idea of a chart is a very good idea.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And that's not to belittle the knowledge in purchasing, but there are people that really specialize in.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, that's resolutions for today. And now we have some reports. Director Ryder, would you like to do a UCRRA report?
Sure. And I'm going to make a report that's mostly been focused a lot on internal operations. The board just passed a really heavy amendment to the bylaws that I was focused on. We set up a rules of conduct for visitors, which is everybody except for staff. So customers, our haulers, those were big lists at our last meeting. A few things that I'll talk about. We just answered back to DEC's questions that they had given us on our permit modification for mattress recycling. So we're moving forward with that. We do have a plan. I've had some good meetings with at least one of the recycling companies and believe that we can do it in a relatively inexpensive way. So I don't, you know, one of the conversations that I was going to have to do with the budget, depending on how expensive the mattress recycling is. I know it's an initiative of the county legislature that we do this. I'm going to talk about a kind of a single reason net service fee that had to do with the offsetting costs of the mattress recycling. I don't anticipate we're going to be able to do that. We would increase some of the costs to our residents for disposing of mattresses, but I don't think we're going to need to do it in such a way that has a heavy impact. It may go from $5 a mattress to $15 a mattress or $10 a mattress. Other companies that I've spoken with were up in the $40 a mattress to process it plus transport. So this one was a little bit different that I spoke to today. We will go out to RFP in the next month or so. These will be numbers that we'll be able to put in our budget for next year, and hopefully the DEC approves the permit modification. Again, this is about 17,000 mattresses that we do in a year, so that's a fairly large amount of especially volume that you're keeping out of the landfill. For any of you who haven't had an opportunity to read the DEC December of 2023 solid waste management plan, I'm about a quarter in, and it is interesting. It's a big divergence than what they have. It's very much focused on circular economy, and you know, their prior plan was beyond plastics. This one is much more statistics in the plan. By 2050, they believe that 85% of all waste in New York State will either be reused or recycled. So that's the way they're moving forward when it comes to legislation, regulations, approving landfills, approving other methods. They only believe 15% of waste should be either landfilled or combusted. So it's a big pivot, I believe, and I'm not all the way through it, but as you all sit on this committee, I would, you know, it's about 70 pages and then a 400 pages of appendix. So you can get through it in a weekend if you choose. I'm happy to forward it to the clerk, but you can also find it. We're getting ready to go out with our disposal and transportation bids. I do expect an increase, so this is disposal both at, you know, the landfill, and then we do a separate bid to transport our waste up to the landfill. That'll be a five-year bid. It's been 5 years since we've done it. Right now, between the two, we pay about $75 a ton just to the two companies. Well, there's a few companies that transport, but just to dispose at Seneca Meadows, it's about $30 a ton. We expect an increase, probably no less than 30% is what we're kind of guessing for what's been signaled to us. I am looking at other landfills that are willing to have capacity. We'll see if anybody else applies. So it's about 30 to do that and about 45 to transport the 256 miles. The nice thing about this mattress recycling company that I spoke to today, they're only 146 miles. They don't actually use heavy diesel equipment. So there's a lot of reasons to kind of do this permit modification. We've also heard back, we believe the DEC is working on our permit to go from 5,000 tons of food waste to 7,500. We are in the process of doing that. We were, like I think reported at the last two meetings, we were slightly over that 5,000. I have been in contact a little bit with John Fitzpatrick, the president of the UC Ag Society, and setting up a meeting with him and Gary. Hasn't happened yet, but do not want to discuss kind of like their obligations and plans for food waste diversion. I know it's not in the contract with the county, but it sounds like it is something that the county is interested in pursuing in the future to be in their contracts. I do not intend on providing the same resources that the executive director provided last year. I think people who went to the fair would all acknowledge that it did not go well. We kind of just put canisters up. He drove it, I think, in his truck. I'm not sure. I don't have a hauler license, so I got to leave something every meeting, Chris.
It's okay. I'll grab the keys.
Yeah. Keys this time. So I do want to talk to them about a plan and see what they plan to do going forward. I know I think at the last meeting I came here and discussed that there has been options with other contractors that they have. But last year was a little bit of a disaster with the agency trying to handle the based on our budget. So again, like, our budget is a little different than the county budget. It's all about county widgets and trying to use approximately 6 months-ish of current year to project full year. So we really don't like to start doing anything until about mid-July. Plus, I have to get in those transportation and disposal bids. Typically, it goes to our board for overall, you know, a cursory approval in mid-August. So expect that in about September, probably we will, maybe the September Energy and Environment meeting, I'll come back and do a presentation of what our budget looks like next year.
Great.
As spoken to in the contract. I mean, I think the contract that expires in March of 2025 says that we will provide you with our budget by May or June. It's just not, like, that doesn't work. I'd be throwing darts. It's a totally different process. I get how county departments can do that. But again, we have to, everything we do related to our tipping fee is all about our tons that are coming in and out. And it can change drastically from year to year. It makes no sense to try to gauge either off of last year's budget, which a lot of departments can kind of try to do. Or like I said, counting widgets.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Director Ryder?
I would just say that maybe let's flag that for the contract and change it.
It's come up in the EC report.
Yes. Legislator Donaldson.
Director Ryder, we talked about, we went to, last time I saw you, about a tour.
Yeah.
Can that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I have had conversations with the chair. I'm happy to do a tour with this whole committee and host one of the upcoming committee meetings there. It sounded like you're amenable to that. Or we could set up a tour separately. It doesn't.
You prefer July or August?
When is July? Just because I'm out the second I am not here. Can we do August?
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. We'll work on that.
Yeah, actually, it's not. The other option would be September, and then I could present the budget. But
Legislator Donaldson, can you wait that long?
Sure. But if I call you and make arrangements, you'll show me.
Happy
that.
To do
that.
Yeah.
Okay,
he has hard hats and orange vests for you. Any questions? Any additional questions?
The last tour was freezing, so this will be better in July.
Yeah, I don't think August, though, would be so great. September is tough.
September is probably
good. Everything gets a little hotter.
I have a quick question. Does the RRA provide support to towns on education on something like compost, let's say, and diverting organic wastes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we have a recycling outreach team, and they do that in many ways. Like, we've provided just recently assistance to the town of Marbletown, who we helped get 50% of a recycling coordinator's position funded.
Yes.
That was done through our team. Happy to provide those. That's one of the things we regularly do.
Okay, great. Thank you. Legislator Stewart.
And that's something I wanted to reach out to you about. This is the Resource Recovery Agency assisting municipalities, because there's a situation in Hurley that I'm sure you're familiar with, and I wanted to discuss that with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm. Why don't we do that? Why don't we talk about it? I mean, I will say, though, that so I'm working with Hurley right now. Give them a letter of support. I do think that a pilot project is an interesting opportunity for research. They are looking at doing a little bit more, like, we don't do door to door. Sort of education and outreach on, we will go to the town, we'll go to a library, we will go to any public place and try to educate residents on home composting. We're happy to always talk to the municipalities about setting up a drop center or doing their own composting operation. The pilot project that Hurley's working on with Greenway is a lot about like zero waste and doing like almost the door-to-door research. I mean, the outreach.
Yeah.
So let's communicate, but just know that like I'm working on getting them numbers and other things like that, supportive of that program.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Legislative Green, anything to add to this?
Well,
because you're also doing the reform report, if you want to go right into that.
Yeah, we can talk about this more when we get to decentralized composting.
Sounds good. Okay, any other questions for Director Ryder? And next, Legislator Green, UCRRA reform.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, after you're done with the press.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
You want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you,
Well, actually, since we were on the topic of decentralized compost, we don't have to talk about it later if we want to wrap it up now.
Why don't you start on the reform and then
I'll
pick that back up.
So the last meeting, the DEC came in and kind of gave the commission a... what the process is like for a landfill siting. It was, I think, very helpful to hear their insights. The DEC is willing to kind of take a look when the agency's ready and the county is ready to identify a few sites and just give us information on whether there's any like red flags that they would like 100% would not support a landfill there. We are getting close, the agency, with our consultants on a feasibility study that will show a few sites that are feasible for a landfill. So the timing of meeting with the DEC was good. They talked about the regulations in law and SEAKER that the agency and county would be required to go to the site of land. So that was the bulk of the last meeting. The meeting kind of prior to that were about the contract and a few other.
And I would just say, if I may, that I think a lot of the commission's work has been around kind of looking at the big picture, right? So looking at the contract, but also looking at the long-term feasibility. And with an eye towards what self-reliance could look like in many different forms and wanting to kind of vet out a couple different kind of trails towards that self-reliance. And one is looking at, is it even at all feasible to construct a landfill and operate a landfill that would serve Ulster County at some scale for some portion of the waste stream? And so the dialogue with DEC from the last meeting was part of the reality of what that might mean, because it's been over 15 years since the state permitted a new MS4 landfill. And so to talk about kind of that process and have kind of a good dialogue on just how robust that is in New York State. So.
Nice.
And I just want to remind folks that the structure of the report, which will be a few weeks late, but not indefinite, it starts out with waste diversion, and then it looks at disposal, and then it looks at the intermunicipal relationships, including and mainly focused on the contract, but also on restructuring the board and the future of the RRA. And then the last section will be financing, how to how to finance all of that. And I think we're actually making good progress. It took a while to get everybody on the same page and working together toward a collective solution, but I think that's really starting to happen. Can I go back to composting?
Absolutely.
Okay. I feel like in terms of composting in general, that the law that we passed for food waste diversion is, I feel like there's not adequate education or enforcement. And I'm just concerned about that. It'll probably come out as a recommendation in the report. But I did, I would like to see the Chamber of Commerce do a focused event on food waste diversion and feature the good examples like Mohonk Mountain House, SUNY New Falls, Frost Valley YMCA, and there's a good list of very good examples. And the haulers, you know, do it kind of as an expo with vendor tables to give out information. So the haulers who are collecting it, Community Compost, who's actually doing door-to-door, Kingston can feature their program that they're going to be implementing, and really make this part of the consciousness. I think we passed the law. I think the Department of Environment did what it needed to do, but I think it's not getting the attention that it needs. And so I've asked the chamber, I'm actually gonna meet with Dr. Roberts, and I actually also brought it up with economic development, because I think it's an important step that needs a little bit more attention. And then the other thing, I would like to have a brief discussion about the Hurley project, because I think that is an extremely important pilot project to bring information to Ulster County so that towns can choose between the system that that Greenway is setting up. They can choose to work with the UCRA, they can choose to work with Community Compost, they can choose to compost on site as New Paltz is already doing. But this will give us really good information, and I would like to support it as a countywide project. It's been called a gift to Hurley if we co-sponsor by providing part of the funding. And I think I'll stop there and ask Legislator Stewart if he has anything to add, because this has been a project that he's been bringing
forward. If you don't mind, Legislator Walz had his hand up.
I'm sorry. I think that majority of our committee, I don't know all, but majority of our committee supports that.
Yeah. Legislator Stewart.
So several months ago, when I was approached, and Menajo as well, by a member of the Hurley Town Board, to see if they would be, if the county would possibly be interested in going in with the town on this project. The project is a 3-month pilot project that would divert almost 90% of organic wastes from the waste stream at the Hurley Transfer Station. And this is using Greenway Environmental Services. Greenway is charging the town of Hurley $20,000 for this 3-month project. And when I spoke to the board member and I spoke to Mana Joe, We thought, wow, this would be great. It would be great if we could get the county to contribute to this effort. And so I approached the legislative clerk, and she says, you know, this is great because we have a contingency fund that could provide money for this project. And again, we're talking $10,000. And that's something that doesn't even need to be voted on by the body as a whole, because it's under 50,000. And the only resolution that would be required would be to give the chair the authority to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Hurley. And so I thought this sounded great, and we, you know, did not anticipate there to be any problems. So I informed the town board of Hurley that, based on my conversations with the legislative clerk, that, you know, the county would go ahead and you know, provide half of the $20,000 for this project, and everyone was thrilled and everyone was happy. Then when we were working with the legislative attorney to draft up the intermunicipal agreement, it became clear that we needed to get a sign-on by the county executive, and we were told that the county executive did not support the county contributing $10,000 for a couple of reasons. One of which would be that it was considered a gift to the town of Hurley. Another was that it would show favoritism to one community over others. And finally, it was pointed out that, you know, these funds would be available to the town through DEC grants. And I hope I presented the county executive's position on this accurately. So through a lot of back and forth with me and Vicki and trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with this situation, I actually spoke to the county executive at the tour at the Greenway facilities, and, you know, she said that, you know, this wasn't going to happen. And I've spoken with, you know, I've talked to Vicki about, you know, possible workarounds, and so there's been all sorts of discussions. But basically, earlier today, I wrote a letter to the Hurley Town Board. I CC'd everyone on our committee, as well as you, Jeff, the other representative for Hurley, and the legislative clerk. And, you know, I basically explained everything that I just enunciated to you. And I said that I was, you know, disappointed, upset, and embarrassed by the situation. I found it unfortunate that in a county with a $413 million budget that we can't choke up $10,000 for a project that could be a pilot project to be used, you know, in other municipalities. And I personally was extremely upset about this simply because I, you know, aside from A, supporting the project, I also, you know, had told the town board that this money would be forthcoming. And so now I had to go to them and tell them that the money will not be coming from the county, at least as it stands now. So, you know, I'm hoping that maybe we could have some discussions and figure out, you know, some way to correct this situation. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on here. Pardon me. So I also informed the town board that I would keep them apprised of developments, and that I would forward to them the information that you provided for grants. So, and I also did want to point out, you know, I think it's awesome, and thank you so much for Amanda for providing the grant information. But also, you know, I believe that we, as a legislative body, voted on someone to actually assist the towns in writing grants, and, you know, it would be great if we're going to back out. I mean, if we're not going to provide the $10,000 for this project, it seems like we could at least assist them in writing the grant.
Did you want to respond?
Yes. So just first, I have to say, I would be interested in kind of knowing what that process was when you said sign on by the executive. So I'm not exactly sure what was meant by that, but I think the point is that we very much want to see increased organics diversion across the county. and very much want to see a project which is designed to be replicable and at multiple sites. And I think having a little ability to look at the grant opportunities and then come up with a viable project that can do that by design is a really important thing. And it's certainly something that the county executive very much wants to see. I can hear the voice of the former legislative chair in my head as far as the warnings, as far as projects being more focused per municipality versus being municipality or greater county benefit. The grant opportunity that we were circulating today is through the Climate Smart Communities Program, of which Hurley is a Climate Smart Community as well as the county. It is a pot of implementation money that specifically has a category for increasing organics diversion through either programs or educational opportunities. They have a 50% match requirement, which can often be met through various, it does not have to be cash on the municipalities. We have used exactly that grant source in the past. The county successfully got $250,000 that we were able to partner with UCRRA to improve their organics diversion program. UCRRA, not being a public benefit agency and not a municipality, is not eligible to apply for that grant funding for organics for climate smart communities. So it's one where the lead applicant has to be the town. So looking at a coalition of towns, an individual town, the county with a coalition of towns, is a very strong application and one that can fund more than 3 months. It can really fund a longer term. And I think looking at this initial project in Hurley being the data or being something that we can point to as a first stage of a pilot, we could look at the viability of an application that could, you know, speak to some more strongly to some of these organics dimensions.
I also, thank you for that. I also just wanted to add that that Mr. Jackson of
Greenway
is aware of this situation. And he called me over Memorial Day weekend and said that, you know, he was not surprised by this development because that the policy, the legislative policy background is not there for this. The framework is not in place, and by that framework not being in place, he was implying that he was referring to the solid waste implementation plan. And in that plan, there's a clause that calls for a municipal pilot project exactly like what Greenway is doing at Hurley. And so he was urging me and this committee to move forward with getting that plan adopted. And from what I understand, that implementation plan has been on the burner since 2019, I think, something like that.
Clarify, it's not the solid waste management plan, it's the zero waste.
Oh, pardon me, I misspoke, yeah.
And I just want to clarify that Amanda said, you said not being a public benefit corporation.
No, yes,
being a public benefit corporation.
Not being
we don't,
a municipality.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are not a municipality. There are grants that we qualify for because we're a public benefit corporation, but not this one, unfortunately.
Thank you. Legislator Green?
Yeah, I think that, you know, getting Climate Smart Committee grants for a next step makes a lot of sense, but this project is now, and that's why we are recommending, and I wanted to hear what the committee said. I am recommending, and others on the committee agree that this project should be viewed as a countywide pilot project, and that's why we should help. It'll become an official pilot for the county, and the UCRA can learn from what works, what doesn't work. Can they really achieve 80 or 85% waste diversion? And if not, what are the problems, but how close can they get, and so forth. So I think the grant route is a good idea for a next step, but I would like to hear from the committee what we want to do about this project.
And would just like to echo manager's comment.
There's a list, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Legislator Knowles.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a shame. I'm sorry that the legislative clerk didn't know this, but unconstitutional gift is a real thing. I mean, there are problems that towns will run into if they want to put out a load of logs and have people come by and take the logs for firewood, because you can't, as a municipal body, benefit individuals or businesses or municipalities instead of distributing to the entire county. And so that's a real thing. And once it gets raised, then it's just a question that you take to the lawyers of whether this counts. But a project that only runs in Hurley, that benefits the residents of Hurley, and then, you know, sets a good example for everyone else, I think that's a hard one to say is a countywide project, because it wasn't set up properly. And there might have been a way to do it, and maybe we can more quickly do that than we can get this grant money in, which would be if the county put out a notice that it wanted to do a pilot project and it needed a cooperating town, and the first one in gets the money, or the town that has the most buy-in from the most people. You can put criteria on it, and you can do a competition, and then you're justified. But just that Hurley comes to the county and says, I'm doing this great thing, can we use county money to do it? We've got so many municipalities in Ulster County that would then start coming to do that same right. thing. So I think, you know, the idea that somehow this committee can make it okay by, you know, changing the way we describe it, I'm pretty uncomfortable with that. I love the project, think it's great. But I think we have to go through legally defensible channels for distributing county money, and that's what you're running up against. The same problem with trying to fund water shed studies, and we should be able to use monies in the county in a way that does these good things, but we have to do it in a way that some other municipality can't bring a justified complaint. You know, why'd they get it? Shandaken is doing composting, and we've got somebody that's doing that as a volunteer. He would love to get paid $10,000 to keep doing what he's doing. But that's where, if we just send this money to Hurley without having had a process, I think you're going to get complaints and justifiable complaints.
Legislator Stewart.
I was just going to say, I'm not, you know, through conversations since with the legislative attorney and the legislative clerk, I mean, basically the situation is if the county executive does not sign on to the intermunicipal agreement, that it's basically, it's not going to happen.
But I'm talking about, why would the county executive not sign on?
And I understand. So,
because saying it the way you just said it means that, like, she could just unilaterally decide.
Well, what I was just going to say is, and therefore, since, you know, she would not sign on to it, she would not agree to it, that basically anything that we would do would be doomed to failure. So.
I have Legislator Walls for the first time, and then Legislator Powell.
I mean, Hurley residents are county residents, and I know
you talk about the law sometimes, and I'm not a lawyer, but there's the letter of the law, and then there's the spirit of the law. Analogous to someone who's driving 57 and a 55, well, you know, to the letter of the law, they're speeding. It can be cited, but the law was, the speeding statute was, you know, to keep traffic moving in a safe way. So sometimes I think, you know, we can get too bogged down in the minutiae of, you know, the letter and lose track of the spirit.
Legislative Collins?
You know, obviously I represent Port of Portland too, so I'm kind of a little bit conflicted there, but I also believe that what we, so I have some concerns about this. I have a concern about the, you know, relationship between a municipality and the county. And I have a concern about the 3-month pilot project in one town. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be extendable or expandable to a larger, to a county wide. So that's a thing too. But I would like it to happen. So I'm wondering if, I don't know the answer to this, if we can work together to come up with a plan to do, you know, competition, first 3, first 5 towns, pick a number that can be part of this plan, and we will go 50-50 with that town for maybe 6 months, a longer term project. So we can actually see if it's really going to work. And, you know, maybe the criteria is that they need to be in different areas of the county, you know. Early is, you know, that encompasses close enough to Woodstock, probably, and Woodstock doesn't have a transfer station, so it doesn't even matter. But other areas, you know, one in the south, one in the further to the west, you know, kind of get regional divergency in this and kind of get a larger plan doing it and do it as a county instead of as, you know, and to kind of subsume what they need to have done.
To follow up on your point, I also had a discussion with Vicki about just that, and we were batting around the idea, well, what if we used, instead of $10,000 from our contingency fund, we used $50,000 from our contingency fund and made $10,000 available to 5 different towns, just sort of exactly what you also had advocated. And so that's something else that has occurred to us, and we thought that maybe we could discuss it like in this committee and maybe come up with a plan along those lines too. Also, I have not reached out to Director Ryder to see, you know, if there could perhaps be any, you know, assistance with this coming from the Resource Recovery Agency. I don't know if that would be anything. We could discuss that later. I don't want to put you on the spot right now.
I would say I would have we probably
I'd sit it down. That's what I assumed, but I have not.
reasons.
Exactly.
So if
I just want to clarify, I would have legislative council look at the Constitution and the gift clause is for personal. It has really nothing to do with the municipality giving another municipality money, and I'm not your lawyer, so I'm not going to weigh in on that. But before you start using the constitutional gift clause as a bar, I don't think that that's what the executive's office is saying, and I think that would be a hard, you wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things that you do if that was the case.
Great. Legislator Donaldson?
Has any other town expressed interest in participating?
If I may, Curly sent out an RFP, and Greenway responded. So it wasn't intended to be a group project yet. I do think that is a very good idea moving forward, and I hope the executive branch with the grant writers that they have will look into that possibility. But Curly issued an RFP, a response, the best response was Greenway. I don't even know if there were any others. There are other entities that can provide similar service, and they started to move forward, but the concern was about the dollars and could the legislature help. And because it is a very valuable pilot, then Eric proceeded with that suggestion, and then it got complicated.
But just to clarify,
let me just finish one more thing. I expect the project's going to go through anyway, but I did think that it would have a greater impact if it was co-sponsored by the county as a project to add information to the work that the UCRA is doing, as long as that's the context right now.
Yeah, so I was going to add the clarification that there was no public notice to all the towns in the county. I mean, that's one of the difficulties would have been just saying, well, you know, there was, you come and ask for it and then we just give it to you. And so I think this was process that we didn't go through. And it does strike me that if we could come up with the right process, then we might be able to support this. And I think that's the kind of brainstorming that we need to do.
Legislator Stewart, would you mind if I reach out to you and we put together a brainstorm before next month with interested parties?
No, that would be great. Part of my disappointment, however, stems from the fact that this is going on now.
So that reminded me of my other thought. Yeah. So my other thought was, you're talking about a $10,000 match, which is not a huge amount of money.
Right.
So if Manager Green, Legislator Green, is having conversations with the Chamber of Commerce about this topic, maybe the Chamber of Commerce could be asked. Maybe some of the banks, local banks, could be asked, whichever bank Hurley has their money. There are other places to go that may have less strictures. And I appreciate the clarification about unconstitutional gifts. I thought it did apply in this circumstance. So we'll ask counsel and I'll bone up on this so that we know. Because if it's somebody else has a misunderstanding and we can just clear up a misunderstanding, that would be wonderful.
Great. And so during that brainstorm, I would like to ask those sponsors to pay $10,000. I'll do the pitch. Great idea. Thank you. Can we move on from this topic? Thank you. 7030, Manager.
Yeah, the renewable energy implementation plan is meeting. I think I mentioned that there's been a real focus recently on batteries, and I will send that information around. We are trying to get every municipality in the county essentially to create their own renewable energy implementation plan. So it starts with filling out a form out of the Senec Hudson mapping tool, and NYSERDA will be developing a similar tool for the whole county this year, but for this region, we already have that tool. And we're asking people to then not only look at what are good places for renewables and what areas need to be protected, but what is their load? And Tom Conrad and other people on the working group have put together a chart where people can find that information so they don't have to try and figure it out themselves. And also there is a queue that Central Hudson and other utilities maintain for projects that have already been completed, that are potentially in the works. And then each municipality can look at those projects and determine what is likely to get built to see if they can actually achieve or come close to 70% renewable by 2030. I want to commend Peter McKnight in Hurley, who's taken that information and is in the process of creating that report, which he will bring to the town board of Hurley. We're doing the same thing in Rosendale and hoping New Paltz and others will. I again want to ask each of you to, I sent around the table, I'll send it around again, that lists who's working on it in your town or city. And to check, for example, Julie Noble's doing a great job, needless to say, in Kingston and so forth. So I think that's it on 70 by 30.
Thank you. Would you like to, I put Reuse Innovation Center on here just to bring it to our attention, and it's a great document that takes some time to read, and so I think that it should be on our radar as the recommendations of the Reform Committee come out, and 70 by 30 is so important.
Yes, and for the Reuse Innovation Center, you know, I expect we will nail down a recommendation out of the Reform Committee. But the mattress, I just wanted to mention on mattresses, not so much the Reuse Innovation Center. I don't actually recall what they said about mattresses, but the Zero Waste Implementation Plan recommended considering regionalizing, and that might attract a reprocessor to the region, and maybe Ulster County would host it. 123 miles is better than I don't remember the exact number for Seneca Meadows, but it's still it's a haul, and you know, that's something that might come up again. My concern is that, you know, we're halfway through the year and we have not made progress on implementing either the Reuse Innovation Center or finishing the Zero Waste Plan. Hopefully we can get those recommendations from the Reform Committee and then act upon them.
Great. Any update on Climate Smart Committee? You can combine it with Climate Core interns if you'd like.
Okay. The Climate Smart Committee, I just want to say that, well, first of all, the attendance is down. So if you know of members of Climate Smart task forces in your town, please encourage that. There is a consideration. It'll come up, I believe, at the EMC meeting. I'm not sure if it has yet, Environmental Management Council, to maybe combine or alternate and work with the EMC. The climate crisis is not slowing down, but we had very high attendance during COVID. Prior to COVID, people met here remotely during COVID, and now I think people just have a lot on their plate, and it's been, the attendance has not been good. But the important thing that I want to bring up, because it's timely, Mark had to step out, but for the past 4 years, I believe, we've been doing Climate Row at the Ulster County Fair, educating thousands of people on the climate crisis, climate solutions. We have a map that shows which municipalities are gold or silver or participating in Climate Smart. And games for kids, and it's really been great. And the Ag Society has provided that to the Climate Smart Committee, and we get volunteers and organize the shifts, and it's been very valuable. The other thing we're trying to do is have the fair each year improve, whether it's energy efficiency, install solar, do more composting, etc. And the composting did not go well. It was unsupervised, and it really, my experience with many years at Clearwater Revival is the reason that system worked so well is it was supervised. And I think we can get volunteers to staff shifts and between the agency's outreach and the Climate Smart Committee's outreach, but it's already June and we only have a few months, so I'm going to ask that and set up a meeting with the Ag Society and the key people at the Climate Smart Committee and see how well we can move forward with that.
And a question, are we going to have Climate Corps volunteers available this year, or is that yet to be determined?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. Climate Corps volunteers, could they help? Well, we can ask anyway. Yeah. And in terms of the internship, I believe the executive branch added, in addition to the departments, a position description for an intern for the Renewable Energy Working Group, because the work is very similar to the greenhouse gas inventory and climate action planning that the department is already doing. We had someone interested who withdrew their application. So I don't know if it's too late, because I was told there are Communities for Local Power thinks they could source an intern and others. So if it's not too late, we can talk about that offline. But right now we don't have an intern.
Okay.
I think that covered
everything.
That's
wonderful progress. Thank you. There's only a couple more things we have to cover today. Deputy Executive Laval, I wanted to talk about herbicides up track and the waivers. Is there anything you'd like to talk about today about that? Just because I want to make sure this committee is aware of any illegal spraying or waivers for chemicals that we might not approve. I want to keep it on our radar, not so much the train itself.
And this is regarding the Catskill Mountain Railroad?
Right.
So I would just share with the committee, which I believe I shared with you by email, was that after reviewing the railroad's application for a waiver from the local law that prohibits spraying on county-owned property, that waiver was denied, I believe, the beginning of April. Some time after that, portion of the corridor, and it happens to be the portion where the county has an easement, was sprayed by Catskill Mountain Railroad. So that is also the portion of the corridor where we were most heavily engaged in work along the track. There is a difference in opinion as far as their rights to work on the corridor in that area. And they did go ahead and spray herbicides on that portion of the corridor, which is not part of their application because it is clearly outside of the permit area. And
there was overspraying too, is that correct? I'm sorry.
I don't believe, I'm not sure about that.
To be clear, this is the portion in Woodstock near Basin Road that is not owned by the county but has an easement by the county. And the, say, disagreement, difference of opinion, who owns it and has the right to either spray or not spray is what the consensus is.
However, in the past,
MRR,
in their prior permit had submitted to spray that area with the easement and was granted one at one point.
Great.
So past practice has been that they have applied for that area, but it has been part of their.
And if any committee members would like to see any of the information about the waivers or the denial, I have that information. I just wanted to bring it to all of your attention.
If I could ask one quick question,
sure.
As well. And I believe they're the only company who actually even applies for this waiver. Is that correct?
Correct. Granted, I think
thank you. So I did receive an air quality report from the Catskill Mountain Railroad, and I think the good news is the county can celebrate our progress and our ability to make some change with local companies that might be polluting. And now that it's veggie diesel, they have great numbers about the improvement in emissions. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, so I saw their report and their data, and it's actually concerning. There are many measurements that show the air quality within the coaches to be polluted, or in some cases very polluted. It's done over time, so they're not all, but it's the characterization from the CMRR was that it was looking pretty good or something like that, and that was not my opinion at all. And so I would like to have a plan for having somebody else look at that. I'm concerned that we now have data showing the pollution that we expected, and they're still operating. And they're apparently operating today, which was an air quality alert day. And they have a plan for biodiesel, but they're not running that currently. And they have data about biodiesel, but we don't know that it will actually turn out that the biodiesel will function in their old engine in the way that it the biodiesel general statistics are. So I think we need to be cautious here about feeling that we've solved a problem. I think we started to get a handle on a problem, and I am concerned. My opinion was based on the research about how their age engine functions, that they should be that they should have a sign in their coaches that says that whatever the year is that their engine, a 1947 era engine, often has pollutants, and a warning if you have pre-existing conditions, especially asthma in children, that this is a setting in which you may be exposed. Or, probably better from their point of view, they should be running air filters, because the types of pollution that are the most problematic, the particulate pollution and some organic compounds that often will land on those particles, could be taken out of the air by a filter the size of a desktop printer that costs a couple of $100s. And until they are able to show us data with that they're not polluting those coaches, I think it should be a strong recommendation from this committee and from the executive that they install and run air filters until they're able to show that they have air quality inside those coaches that's safe for the public.
Thank you. Is it crucial?
Just what I believe is a correction. I could be wrong, but my understanding is that they are using 100% biodiesel and that it's working well.
Yeah, thank
I'm
you.
Not addressing the air quality data because I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Thank you. I made a note of that to make sure we get the accurate information.
Okay. So if they're redoing the study now that they have biodiesel, then that's fair enough.
Yeah, thank you.
Pardon me?
You did.
Requested information for today, but didn't get it.
Okay.
They've been running for another month.
Thank you. Last issue I'd like to discuss is the Parks Director hiring. We already covered Greenway Tour, and we'll talk about committees offline. Deputy Director LaValle, is there a timeline to hire a Parks Director?
We have not created a spec or noticed that position. I think there was some concern from our office regarding timing, and again, waiting for salary and budget discussions.
Do we know when the salary study will be released to us?
And it's still, we're expecting that in weeks, in order to, and again, it is meant to inform the budget discussion.
Great, thank you.
And yes. On that, if we can continue to have some discussions about how the different departments would work under parks, that
yeah.
could potentially help with the drafting of the specifications once the exec's office is ready to do that.
Great. I had a conversation with Deputy Executive LaValle about that. Thank you. Anything else before we adjourn?
Can I really quick just say one thing?
Uh-huh.
So the State Assembly and State Senate have agreed on the EPR bill, the Packaging Reduction Act, and have made some changes, but it now has to age for 3 days. I would encourage you all mm-hmm. to reach out to both your assembly member and member of the Senate and you know, encourage them to pass the bill. It's huge for agencies like the ECRA. There was definitely a little bit of watering down in the legislation, but it's still a lot better than where we're at.
Great. Thank you. Legislator Collins?
I think that's about the bigger, better model bill.
That I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone want to motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Okay, we have adjourned. Thank you.
No, you have to vote.